Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and it feels extra good. Normally, it feels great after a North Texas win. The Sundays after feel amazing, but this one feels a little extra because it's not just like winning a game and staving off yet another losing season. Your favorite college football team is a winning college football team, 3-2 on the season, and hey, 2-0 in conference. And we just beat the statistically best defense in the conference. And we were a little skeptical of that. And by we, I mean myself and Mr. Aldo. How you feeling this morning?
I know you're saying words, but all I can hear is harps and other miscellaneous angelic music.
Yeah, dude, I said we were going to be on the show and we're going to laugh and internet high five. And, I mean, that's basically what we've been doing. You've just been tweeting. You've just been telling me stats about how great we are. I feel like that old commercial, that old cartoon with Bugs Bunny where the mama bear says, tell me more about my eyes. Because, North Texas is a good football team, guys. That's a weird thing to say. I know it. I mean, a little aside here. Once upon a time, we went up to somewhere, right? We went out to a game. And we came back, and an extended family member, I won't reveal this person's name, they said, so how'd it go? I'm like, well, we lost. It was a close game. And I just, well, I can't believe you guys still go out there for that. Like, they're just always losing. And I'm like, well, you know, it's our team. We got to support our team. So it feels good. I tweeted this out yesterday and said, well, you know, one of the best things about supporting this team for so long is moments like this taste all the more sweet. How does it feel for you? Do you feel?
I mean, it was awesome. It was quite validating.
Yes.
We had a team that we were going up against that was statistically stout, and their fans were all clamoring, saying, hey, we're going to beat y'all.
Would you get a load of me?
Yeah, sure.
And, I mean, I had my doubts coming into it. I was like, this is the real test. UAB was a very good test. They're better than we expected, and we barely pulled off the win in the last quarter, the last few seconds of the game. And we came in here and you know, did an about-face and just dominated after a pretty bad first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, before we get into the game, I know I'm excited about getting into the game, too. I want to kind of talk about the state of the program right now. And we also got a Twitter question. I am Jason Aguirre. I wonder if he goes by Aguirre. 5 games in, and you had a chance to see this how this team is. How do you think we finish? Well, before the season, we sat down here in these two chairs, and we podcasted, and we talked about where we thought this team would finish. I said we'd be 3-2 at the end of September, except I thought we'd beat SMU, not USM. I probably just got those two letters mixed up. And,
transposed.
Yeah, transposed those guys in my crystal ball gazing. I got to admit, I was a little shaken on my thought on this team because I basically thought we'd play this way against Southern Miss. I mean, against Southern Methodist, against the Ponies. And that we'd play like the way we did against, you know, the Ponies, against the Golden Eagles. That keeps it straight in your brain, everybody. And so, you know, after that game, I was like, well, I don't know, maybe this team is not what I thought they were going to be. Maybe it's a little bit off. I thought we could beat Southern Methodist, the Ponies there in Dallas, SMU. I think maybe what I got wrong was that SMU's a little bit better than I predicted, and we were just not quite ready then.
And I think that's what they looked like. They didn't look ready, and
yeah,
they did this weekend. And, you know, for reference, I had them pegged before the season started, about a week or so. I had them pegged for 4 wins, North Texas, and then talked to Adam for a little bit, I upped it to 5, and then when we finally talked about it on the air, I was like, fine, 6, we'll do it live.
It was funny sometimes, like, of the people that know me just generally, a couple people are like, God, I don't know, you hate everything. And I think what they mean is that I'm like critical of things. It's like I just have opinions on things. And so it's funny, I come on here and then I have this reputation as like an optimist, as a Mean Green fan. Really?
You kind of have to be after the last 10 years.
Yeah, something like that. But all right, so here it is. I still like this team. I predicted something like 9 wins. And I think now that you go look at my prediction, I said win against Lamar, win against SMU, losing to Southern Miss, oh, and then win against UAB. You know, we'd be 3-2 at this point, and you know, we won one that I thought we'd lose, and we lost one that I thought we'd win. So we're right on schedule. I said we're gonna beat UTSA. We're gonna win 9 games this season because the schedule shapes up nicely for us. I like our offense, and I think if our defense is stout enough, we'll be good. Now, there's some questions here. As excited as we were last night for the result, that second quarter had a lot of shades of the Southern Methodist game, the one in Dallas, where there's some turnovers, where the offense couldn't quite be effective, and it looked like Southern Miss was going to do some things, and they had a chance to put it over the top. So great job by the defense, you know, learning from their mistakes, stemming the tide. Eric Jenkins came in, played really well, and they didn't allow it to turn into that. There was a couple moments where it really looked scary, right? Mason Fiant, there was an interception. I was like, well, they're just going to go down and score again, and, you know, next thing you know, it's going to be 28-7. I mean, it was 21-7, guys. And that was not very different than, you know, the SMU game, right? Where just all of a sudden it turned. And everybody's like, what happened? Now it's halftime, we're down by 21 points or whatever. Did you get any of that feeling there in the end of the first
half? For sure. Yeah, that first half I was like, here we go again. Yeah. But the difference, I think, is that they just kept going after it. They didn't quit. The coaching staff kept... You know, their play calling changed a little bit once those mistakes started happening. I think I was mentioning it on Twitter or on the Slack that they were calling some plays that weren't working, and you know what? They changed it.
Yeah. So a lot to talk about. So this is all in an answer to the question from Twitter. I still feel good. I still think 9 wins is very possible. I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but off the top of my head, I think we can beat UTSA. They're a little bit of a paper tiger also. A lot of what silly tweet by somebody from UTSA saying, hey, look, here's our stats without FCS opponents. And, I mean, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But it reminds me a lot of Southern Miss here. They were pointing all day and all night to their statistics, their defensive statistics. When I look at who they played, I'm like, Kentucky's not good. Like, they played an FCS team, and they could barely put up 400 yards. They played ULM, who's not super amazing, and they played Southern, an HBCU that was injured. So saying that you stop them and look how great we are, like we should be ranked nationally, he's not really saying much. I said it. You said it. Everybody said, hey, look, North Texas is going to be the best offense that you're going to play. And, you know, you're going to drop a little bit. Your stats are going to change some. So I feel good. I feel good about UTSA. I feel good about everybody else we play on the schedule. Rice looks terrible. UTEP looks terrible. Army, they're still Army, and they're tough. But I feel good about that. We have them here in Denton, so that feels good.
Yeah, I think our floor is maybe to finish out with 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, that's about right. Okay, 2 more questions before we get into the thing. Do I like my job? Yes. Do I like my gig? Yes. And also, is Mason Fine the best quarterback this division has to offer? Ooh, that's a good one.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's go off the top of our head. Who's the best quarterback in the division coming in? Like, just off the top of your head, was it Western Kentucky's guy?
In our division?
Yeah. Well, did he say division? Yeah, he says division. So not even, I was thinking the conference. Division. It's North Texas, Louisiana Tech, UAB, UTSA, UTEP. We're just going to go ahead and take UTEP off right now because they don't even know who their best quarterback is. So, we you know, Greenlee or Torres or Ryan Metz. Ryan Metz also looks 38 years old. My wife saw him on the TV and she was like, hey, is that the coach? I was like, no, that's it's actually the quarterback. So we're going to take them off. Who else is in our division? UTSA, Dalton Sturm. You know, he's a gamer.
He's consistent.
He's consistent, and he doesn't throw for a lot of yards. So I'm going to take him off the board. I think you can win with him, but you have to win with him in a certain style of offense.
Yeah, and he's a safe quarterback.
Yeah. So I put Mason Fine ahead of Dalton Sturm, only just barely, though, because I think Dalton Sturm is – he has, like, a similar makeup. He's tough. He's a gamer. He's going to play hard for you. And I think UTSA fans all fell in love with him the same way that we love Mason Fine because we know that Mason Fine's super tough. But, yeah. What else we got? Southern Miss. Quadri Griggs cannot throw an intermediate or deep ball. And I said that. I had questions about the guy. And guess what? 45% passing in this game.
Yeah, and the defense took advantage of his, you know, salt and pepper accuracy.
Yeah, we're going to get to that also. Yeah, put him ahead of Southern Miss's quarterbacks. Rice has – who is it, Rice's quarterback?
Stelling?
Is it still Stelling?
I think
so. No, it's Jackson Tyner.
Oh.
Yeah, no, Jackson Tyner's thrown one touchdown, four interceptions. And it's not even like he's just getting overwhelmed and has to do it. He's not – really doing too much out there. I watched a little bit of that Pitt game, and they looked overwhelmed. I like to emphasize the H in the whelm. Who else is in our division? That's it, right? Did I say everybody?
La Tech.
Oh, yeah. La Tech, that's always hard. I think that might be it. Jamar Smith is good. He has something like 1,300 yards. If you watch him, he looks poised, and he can deliver the football, and he can run. I think that's probably the biggest excuse me. That's probably the biggest competition you have. If you want to say who's better. You probably can pick Jamar Smith and I wouldn't really say that's a bad thing, but if we're the second best quarterback in the division, that's not terrible. Because all we have to have is the best quarterback on the day when we play them. And don't look now, but North Texas could be in the conference championship game. That's getting a little ahead of things, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Simmer down now.
Yeah, so one other question. Do you think Mason Fine can stay atop the leaderboard for QBs in Conference USA? Yes, I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about this game. I wrote like 2,000 words after the game, and I had so much more to say, but I just wanted to actually make sense and not just look like the ramblings of a crazy person. And even on second read, it kind of reads a little bit like that, like I was writing it while tweeting. But it was a good time. We went to Hattiesburg, handled Southern Miss 43-28. You know, Mason Fine put up 366 yards passing, 174 yards rushing, 148 of which were by Jeff Wilson. Three touchdowns, including two runs of 40-plus yards. Jalen Guyton, 211 yards on 14 catches, targeted 18 times. I mean, that's efficient right there, right? You know, the old saying that, you know, three things can happen on a pass and two of them are bad. So think about that. While we're targeting Jalen Guyton 18 times, we're saying we're going to use up a play design, a whole play, and we're going to – and sorry, somebody tweeted me, do I like my gig? Good to see we have a bunch of P1s here. Throwing the ball to him, right? 18 times we decided, hey, let's get the ball to Jalen Guyton, and 14 times we were rewarded, and also he produced 211 yards. He played the role of possession receiver this time after being the deep threat. So
I mean, he was a deep possession receiver, if you will.
Yeah, like, he was – nobody could guard him. Like, they didn't look close to him the whole time. The only way it could have been better, and this is like just a tiny sliver of better, is if he was breaking tackles and taking it to the house. Like, that's it. But you could see their DBs looking beat. Like, they were just like, ugh, how do we stop this guy? And I would say that that kind of receiver performance is more demoralizing than, say, like the Cortland Sutton kind, where he's just catching touchdown passes, like, deep. Just because you're like, we are stopping him, sort of, because we're tackling him every play, but I can't stop him. Because, like, instead of just getting beat one, you know, deep 65-yard touchdown pass, he's beating you for 13, 15, 17, you know? And you're like, God.
I'm just moving the sticks.
Yeah, every time. That's the worst. So it was the worst for them. It was the greatest for us. 211 yards receiving. He had, I think he was, like, the only guy with multiple catches for a while until Rico Bussey caught his second pass.
Yeah, 18 targets. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And 15 yards per reception. Every time he catches the ball, he's moving the sticks.
Yeah, it was for a while there. I think when I tweeted out the number, when I was like, you know, this guy's just killing it. It was about 10 catches for 98 yards at the point in time. So it was, at no point was it ever just like dink and dunk. He was catching, you know, good distance routes. Like, he's getting some depth there, like you said, moving the sticks. So here's my thinking there. You do the film, work before the week. You see North Texas and you're like, this guy Jalen Guyton likes to go deep. Let's give him some cushion. Let's not get beat over the top like Iowa did, like UAB did. Let's give him some space and see what if they can move the ball down the field, right? And turns out we did. This is what I like about this offense, and a lot of people complain about it. Like, why are we not just going deep? Well, like, SMU is not letting us go deep either. They said, let's give them this cushion. Let's see what they can do right here. And we took it. And so Jalen Guyton was taking the easy stuff. There was a couple short slant routes. There was a screen pass. There was a quick out, a little hitch here and there. Just taking the easy stuff. If you were going to give it to him, we'll take it. And we'll be second and short. We'll be third and short. And then, once they said, enough of this stuff. I was about to curse right there. I guess as this program gets more popular, I can't curse as much. They stepped up, and we went over the top. We said, okay, a little bit deeper. Now a 17-yard dig. Now, 15-yard out. Good stuff. I like this offense. I like what happened last night. That was fun.
And a couple other things is that when you're watching Guyton, you know, I'm watching the TV and I'm yelling at the TV, he's open, he's open. Because Guyton was wide open. He was splitting defenders. He was attacking the zone. I don't know if people were just missing their assignments, if they were in man, because he was open between the defensive backs, or if he was just shaking guys and getting wide open. But Mason Fine, you see his head go left, right, left, right, and then boom, he's wide open, just throw it down the field.
Yeah, I mean, they tried a lot of different things against him. They tried, let's go man-to-man. I think they tried to keep Mikel on him. They tried to put a safety over the top, give him some help. You know, they were trying a lot of different things, and they couldn't really do it. Because, you know, his teammate, best player on the field, Jeff Wilson, was dangerous. They had to keep an eye on Jeff Wilson because he was killing it. He was getting 9 yards here and there. In between, every once in a while you get a 1-2 yard game. But he was a threat to break it, and he did break it. And if you don't have that threat there, I don't know that you have Jalen Guyton getting so open. But also, if Jalen Guyton's not doing his thing, then Jeff Wilson doesn't have so much room to run. This is great to see, because Jeff Wilson was great last season without the same kind of deep threat. And he's even better now. Like, wow, this is amazing. It's the time and effort that he put in, but also the situation around him. And it's great to see.
Yeah, and I tweeted about it yesterday. Jeffrey Wilson put games on his back last year, but we weren't able to win all those games, even though he was getting 100, 200 yards or whatever, several touchdowns. We still weren't winning those games. And now that Jeff Wilson's putting up those same numbers, we've got Jalen Guyton to take the team from where we were last to just dominating the field.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the games that are memorable from last season. The Army game, right? What, you're like, well, Jeff Wilson had a great game. Well, also, Mason Fine was able to complete some deep passes to Willie Robinson and to Tigre. And it's the same thing. Like, hey, when we have the complimentary pass game, Jeff Wilson, you know, his rushing is not for naught, right? This is English language is hard, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, good stuff there. I mean, the offense, I think I tweet out the drive chart after they threw the interception? Yeah, I have it right here, too. Touchdown, field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. Then we punted, then it was into the game. Like, that was after Mason Fine threw the interception. I want to talk a little bit, if we can, about the drive, the 95-yard drive. That was actually 97 yards.
That was great.
Yes. So the situation was that North Texas was down. I think it was 14-0 at that point. And they had just thrown an interception on the previous drive. The defense stepped up, forced a punt. They're backed up at their 5-yard line. The situation is terrible. And it reminded me so much of last season when we were down 17 to Rice. I don't know if anybody remembers this. I think it was the second quarter, that one also. We had just gotten shut out and dominated by Florida. And so it was like five quarters of 30 total yards, I think is what it was. And everything looked terrible. And we're like, is Seth Luttrell an offense coach? What? How come we're not moving the ball? Where's the offense? And those are reasonable questions there. And then it was like third and long. I think Jeff or Willie Ivory ran for like a negative 2-yard loss, right? And third down, Mason Fine throws up a duck to O'Kieran Rutherford. Both Rice defenders fall down. Rutherford catches the ball. First down, North Texas. And a series of great plays later, including a big scramble by Mason Fine and a big first down by Willie Ivory. Mason Fine tosses a touchdown pass to Willie Ivory on a wheel route. Touchdown, North Texas. Hey, this thing is not so bad. Instead of being 17-0, Rice ball midfield, it's 17-7. North Texas is moving the ball, right? That was a big play for me at the game then. I was like, oh, my God, that was a clutch drive. We absolutely needed that drive. And I think Seth Luttrell agreed with me and saying the same thing all season. Last night, that drive felt very, very similar. Down 14-0 on the road against, quote-unquote, the best defense in the league, backed up to the own five, run the ball, and Jeff Wilson turns it what should have been a safety to just a 2-yard loss. Like, that was so huge and probably bigger than, as big as any run that he had all night. Next thing you know, big 11-yard gain to Mike Lawrence, huge catch, huge throw. One of those things that you're not going to relook at. You're like, oh, Mike Lawrence had one catch for 11 yards. Everybody that had just one catch last night, that catch came at a super important moment. 11-yard gain on second and 12. Jeff Wilson makes a 2-yard run. It's a first down. Things are moving. Then I think it was Smiley's first catch and his only catch, 41 yards. North Texas in business. That was an amazing drive. And I think there's more. I just want to let you talk next. I'm just talking. Yeah,
no. I'm reliving this. I'm in awe. I mean, after that 2-yard loss, you know, it was a 12 play drive. So after that 2-yard loss, we were averaging almost 9 yards
a pass. Play. Yeah,
and we were just driving down the field.
Yeah, it's like it was amazing. Every time I was trying not to look at the stream or the play chart, because I was watching the game and the stream was just like about a minute behind. So I occasionally looked and I saw a 41-yard gain from North Texas. I was like, what the hell? How in the hell we do that? I want to talk about Kelvin Smith's big fourth down catch. It was fourth and two. Mason Fine rolls out. Hey, we just rolled out, right? And we just threw an interception, right? Rolls out, completes it just beyond the first down marker. He caught it, falls forward. That was his only catch of the game. And that was super clutch. Again, just everybody had like one catch, super clutch. I think later on, Chumley's 43-yard gain was his only catch of the game, and that was an amazing catch, and it was a super clutch catch. Yeah.
I mean, I think you're underselling that Kevin Smith pass. I mean, reception.
No, well, I mean, yeah, I don't know how to. I'm out of words here to say how amazing it was. So Mason Fine is rolling right.
He's flushed out of the pocket.
He's flushed out of the pocket. again, it's fourth and two, and this is a big, you know, moment here. Like, this could be, wow, what a great drive to get out from your own shadow of your own goalpost. But now the drive dies at midfield or just beyond midfield. That's not amazing. He rolls out fourth and two, and he completes it. An amazing pass. It just, everything was, this shouldn't have happened. They made it happen. That's the kind of play that, again, it looks unremarkable. One catch, 3 yards. That's it. Kelvin Smith, where you at? Weren't you player of the week last week? No. That was a super clutch catch. That was, you know, you could maybe even make the argument that was a game-sustaining catch. If he doesn't make that catch, maybe they don't win. Maybe nothing happens, you know? Like, who knows what happens? But it was that important at the time.
Yeah, he had a defender on him. Fine threw it where the defender couldn't get to it, but Kelvin Smith still had a dive for it. Caught it in his chest, fell down, and then we're looking for where the first yard marker was, and he was just a yard beyond that.
Yeah, it makes it even more dramatic when you can't see it on the stream. They don't have the first down markers there, so like the digital line. So you're harkening back to 1997, I guess, and just. yeah, that was the other thing. There was like no time on that stream. It just said the down, and that was never right. So you're just like basically listening to the Southern Miss radio while you're watching the stream from the Jumbotron. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my candidate for drive of the season right now. 12 play, 95 yard drive, over 5 minutes, 11 seconds, and that was huge too because it allowed the defense to rest a little bit, allowed them to talk it out. Get some rest, and it took the rhythm and the momentum away. Not that they had a whole lot, but it took whatever was left from Southern Miss. Good stuff. North Texas,
it was momentum changer.
Yeah, super. Yeah. Big time momentum changer.
Yeah, and it was like you said, a defining moment. But on top of all that, if you've been following North Texas football for a long time, when do you ever hear about 12 play, 95 yard drives that are sustained?
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like those are gut check conversions there. They stopped Griggs and them, and I think it started out with like a 31-yard miracle gain. And here's why I don't love Quadre Griggs right now. So he just doesn't look super accurate. He can make plays. Look, he can throw to Ito Smith, and Ito Smith can run for 45 yards, and then you look at the stat sheet and it says, hey, Griggs had 45-yard, he had a 45-yard pass. But who did the work there, right? So he kind of rolls right and he throws up just a lob. It was just a heave to Alonzo Staggers. And Staggers, because he's really good, made the catch. 31-yard gain. And so we're like, okay, well, what's going to happen here? But we force him into like a four and out, basically. So Ito Smith has two runs into the line. Shout out to the defensive line. Flushi played well. Rod Young played well. Sid Moore played well. I'm missing somebody else off the top of my head. But everybody played well. TJ Tuala Bear played amazing. They were able to get in there, stop Ito Smith from getting space and doing the things that he can do. He only had the 102 yards. Like, he and Jeff Wilson were about even after, like, Jeff had this big 43-yard run, and then Ito Smith came back with a 65-yard run. And you're looking at him, you're like, well, they're like neck and neck. It might be just a shootout. And if you remember way back when we played Kansas State, and it was Lance Dunbar and Kansas State running back, the dueling 200-plus yard games in that one.
I'll guess Kendall Hunter or something.
No, not Oklahoma State. That's Oklahoma State. You think it's Daniel Thomas is what it was. Long story short, it looked like it was going to be that game, but Ito Smith was bottled up, folks. He didn't do too much after that. He had another late touchdown, but he wasn't controlling the game. He wasn't getting through the line and making plays. Hold on, we got another question. Did the bye come at a bad time? We're on an offensive hot streak, and this could slow that down. I tweeted about this before. Yeah, a little bit, but any rest is good. You always like a rest, especially in this game, football. A lot of people need to get some rest and recover, and we're going to get Bryce English back after this, which makes the defense a little bit better. Adding another guy with some talent to a line that was getting banged up because TJ Tuilau got banged up. I don't know how he's doing. I haven't checked. So it's a good time. Good time for a bye. Yes?
So you're saying Bryce is coming back?
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. Everybody's circling the UTSA game that he'll be back for that. So I'm just going with that. I haven't heard anything to counter that. Are you hearing something different?
No. You were the one with the news.
Okay.
That would be awesome. You know, our defensive line is doing great, and Bryce English is supposed to be an upgrade for our defensive line. So if he's in there, it should make the whole team better.
Yeah. All right. So again, we're talking up the defensive line, and they played well. Don't discount them. Don't you look at the stat sheet. They didn't have a whole lot of tackles for losses, but they had a lot of tackles for 1 and 2 yard gains. And those are big. Because, you put the ball in Kwaja Griggs' hands and not Ito Smith's hands. And that's how you win this game. That's the strategy in this game. Griggs threw an incomplete to Isaiah Jones. Next thing you know, it's our ball again. Go ahead.
Yeah, we forced Griggs to attempt 42 passes, and we allowed Ito Smith to just carry the ball 13 times.
Yeah. We're talking about playing a team's game, right? Our game is let's go up and down the field and score, right? See if you can stop us. See if you can stop Jalen Guyton. See if you can stop Jeff Smith. And if you want to play that game, Jeff Smith. Okay, why do I keep saying that? Jeff Wilson. God, I'm the worst. I'm the worst Mean Green blogger podcaster there is. Like one of three, is that it is? So you can't stop them. Okay, now you're gonna try to score with us, huh? Okay, well. See if you can do that. There's not a whole lot of teams in this conference that can score at this pace anymore. Western Kentucky probably can, but they're a little down this year, so maybe not.
I mean, they literally aren't just because we're leading the conference in scoring.
yeah, and it's like by results here, nobody can do this. But I'm just saying, like, the talent, right, Mike White and Western Kentucky did it last season, right? They scored up and down, they averaged 50 a game. They're not doing it this season. And you look, I think the second most explosive team in the league up to this point was Southern Miss. And no. So, all right. So this is what we want. We want a quarterback who's not really, who doesn't have the skill set to stand tall and just slice you up. Like you look back last week, A.J. Erdley was pretty decent at that. There was some breakdowns in coverage, but he was rolling around finding guys. That's what we're scared of. We didn't face that here. Griggs threw a lot of incomplete passes. He wasn't even giving his receivers a chance, which I thought he would be able to do. Just completely overthrowing them. So we didn't get a whole lot of pass breakups or interceptions or anything because the ball was just softly hitting the ground.
Uncatchable.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, do that all day. So I want to talk about this other one. It's like the drive part two. After that punt, we get the ball to 20, 54 seconds on the clock. Hey, New Denton right here, right? 54 seconds on the clock. Pretty much what Daryl Dickey, definitely Dan McCarney, would say, okay, let's pack it in. Less than a minute on the clock, and we're at the 20. We're just going to kneel and go into the locker room, and I don't know.
And talk about it.
Yeah. What did we do? We said, let's do some things. I think we ran the ball out of bounds. We tried a 1 yard. It's a sweep, basically, right? And next thing was that Caleb Chumley 43-yard run on 2nd and 16, because I think we had a false start. Especially then, a false start, and we go backwards, and we're like, definitely, a bunch of coaches go, what? We're going backwards? Let's back it up. We're not doing anything. But we dial up a pass play, 43 yards to Caleb Chumley, a beautiful, beautiful throw. We're in business. Now, here's where I want to say that we can't just overly praise Mason Fine. For all these great plays that he made, there were a couple plays where he looked very iffy. He tried to force a couple passes, and you noticed a couple of completely missed dudes wide open in the secondary. But he throws a pass to the safety, basically, and the guy just drops it. It was a totally an interception. Maybe on another day that guy picks it off and maybe returns it back. But terrible throw. Bad throw. And lucky for North Texas that he dropped it. I always say I'd rather be lucky than good. And in this case, I think I'm proven right. It's an anecdotal point right here, data point.
It's a tattoo on your arm.
Yeah. Rather be lucky than good. But another huge 4th and 4. A little toss to Nick Smith, also his only catch of the game. He had one catch for 6 yards, and you're like, oh, he didn't do anything. No, he did something here. It's another little shoot route from the back. Nick Smith was open just beyond the defender. Mason Fine places it just over the guy's fingertips into Nick Smith's hand. Great job making that catch because it was not easy. And we get the first down. And we kick a field goal. That's huge. Instead of being 21-14 at the half, it's 21-17. And you can hear all 10 fans in the Rock at M.M. Roberts Stadium get a little nervous. The radio guys were getting a little nervous. Like, well, you know, North Texas is pretty good, actually. They're moving up and down the field here.
Yeah, when that drive happened, and just to comment on the Mason Fine thing, yeah, he's a true sophomore. He's going to keep making these mistakes. He's a little bit short, and so he's not really seeing the field. Maybe he's just feeling the game, and he's a gunslinger. He's not going to back off, but he'll learn. You know, he's got some time to learn. But yeah, once the half was over, I stepped back to reassess, and I think we were outpacing them on yardage, and we were pretty efficient scoring. It was just those two turnovers that were just backbreaking in the first quarter. But this team was able to turn around and start, start their comeback.
Yeah, so there's room for improvement, and I think that's exciting about this. Like, I think with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, I was like, we have 492 yards of offense, like 40-something points. I think it was actually 40 points. And hey, there's 10 minutes to go. And what I didn't say was like, hey, and we turned the ball over a bunch. I mean, you know, we had a lot of points on the board. You know, I think last week in the press conference, Seth Luttrell said something similar there. He said something like we left like 18 points on the board. Yeah, you can see it. You can see it out there that excuse me, that there's a lot of room for improvement, and that's. It's amazing to say when we score 43 points and put up 530 yards of offense, whatever it was, 540. Yeah, we can clean those up. We can finish drives in the first half. We can not throw interceptions, right? Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a young team, and this team's going to grow together for a few more years.
Yeah, and I like, you know, just looking way far ahead. I like what Nick Smith brings, and I mean, you can see the talent there. I think I wrote about this about the coaching staff last night, and I said one of the big things, big question marks, like signing day, right, back in February, was like, well, can this team recruit? The staff recruit. They're talking about how they know who they can get. They can see a guy and develop him, and, you know, you got to trust them. They don't look at rankings. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, we'll see. Darden, Guyton, Evan Johnson, Tyreek Davis, all in the last recruiting class, all contributors, you know, varying levels of quality, right? But all were part of the most recent recruiting class, and they're all doing well. They're all doing good. So I feel good about the recruiting, I guess, is what I'm saying. Yeah?
Yeah, you're starting to see the dividends pay off. And then, you know, in terms of quality, you're looking at it on paper and saying, well, North Texas isn't recruiting quality players like other opponents are. And when you see them start performing on the field in terms of X's and O's with these Jimmys and Joes, that's going to help down the road. Our quality of recruiting will improve down the road if we keep putting up numbers, if we keep putting up the wins that we are putting up. So we have to start from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves right here, but Sorry about the screech. My kid and my wife brought me a mimosa and a cookie. That's why you get married, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you do it. So we're selling, you know, we're talking like a Jalen Guyton or a receiver. And we lost a couple of receivers, right? I think it was Trayvon Bradley. We lost him to Houston. And because we're over there with a brochure, basically, right? And saying, hey, look, you can score all these points right here. And, you know, it's like, your name here. It's like, well, who's done it in your offense before? And like, well, if you look back at North Carolina, you can see, no. Who's done it in North Texas? And like, well, nobody. I'm like, okay. So now we can say, when we talk to recruiting talent of the future, dude, this could be you, right? You could score. And he says, well, who's done it in North Texas? We can say, look at Jalen Guyton out here, 211 yards. Look at him scorching Iowa. Look at it right here. Look, scorching, you know, SMU running free in the secondary. That could be you, guy. He said, you know what? I could see myself there. You know? And there you go. Some recruits are doubting Thomas's, you know, and they want to see the marks on the hands. It's Sunday, right? It's a little Sunday school for you.
They want to see that brochure.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a little recruiting talk, I guess. I just wanted to mention that. So I think Tony Krasniski, I can't say that guy's name.
Krasniki?
That guy, Tony K, we'll call him. He got some time in there. You know, good stuff. Good. The future looks bright. And even if you want to be cynical and say, well, wasn't Tyler Wilson out there last year? And didn't he have, like, shine brightly and then disappear? Yeah, that always happens. Every recruiting class is like 24 guys that come in, and I don't know. Even if you ever send an invite to like 10 people and like, you know, 5 people show up, you're like, well, that's pretty decent. Happens in every facet of life, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't always work out. So, where were we? The offense. The offense is moving. The first half was had adversity. They overcame it. Second half, just some stats for you. In the first half, 2 of 10 on third down. Second half, 7 of 11, 64%. Amazing. The defense allowed 253 yards by Southern Miss. Second half, only 162 yards and held them to 4.8 yards per play on 34 plays. Yeah, so, yeah. And 1 of 6 on third down.
And only 7 points.
Only 7 points.
And only 7 points in the second half. Just looking at the stat sheet, looks like we got 2 sacks and 4 tackles for loss. So we were doing a good job of putting pressure up on their offensive line, which is a big line too.
Yeah, they're big. We thought maybe we'd have success against them because they're a little inexperienced. They haven't played a whole lot together. But on the other side, hey, shout out to our line. Yeah, that was a big question mark last season. I think we have allowed 2 sacks this year. 2 sacks a game, sorry. We were averaging about 4 last one. But they've been able to create enough daylight. They still don't get enough push on short yardage. We're still having some struggles there, and that's still going to be an issue against some of the better teams in this conference, like a UTSA, again, La Tech. But they're doing enough. I mean, when you look at 540 yards, we're not playing 7-man football out here, right? The line is creating space. The line is creating time. So give them the credit. We were very critical of them last season. And I'm not the offensive line guru here. I'm not going to tell you about technique and thing and tell you who's exactly specifically playing well. But I don't see a whole lot of bad there. Yeah, Jordan Murray still gets beat by some edge rushers, you know, that are quicker than him. That happens. That's fine. Good stuff overall. Keeping Mason Fine upright, giving Jeff Wilson lots of time and space to run.
Yeah, I think a lot of that credit goes to Mason Fine too, though. Getting rid of the ball, not taking those sacks. We still allowed about 13 tackles for loss, but that was also included in with like screen passes and whatnot. Yeah. But the left side of the line was getting dominated by those edge rushers. We couldn't get anything going up the middle.
Yeah,
and so we knew that was the case, so we started attacking the edges, and that's how you do it. You don't try to force it up the middle if it's not working up the middle, except every once in a while to try to mix up the plays.
Yeah,
and that's how you get those big runs going.
Yeah. If everybody, you guys read the preview I wrote, right? I mentioned that. You look at, they had 2 304-pound tackles, big dudes in the middle, and I think three overall on the roster, and they kind of rotate some guys. But they have some big tackles. I didn't really think we're going to get a whole lot of push up the middle. And so I said, we're going to have to try to run around these dudes. And I wrote that specifically. We're going to have to run around them. And what I like that, you know, it feels good for me. This is me saying, look how cool I am. Also, but also that exactly what you said. We recognize this stuff. We tried to run up the middle a couple times because you have to. It's football. You have to at least keep them honest. But a lot of sweeps. And some of those sweeps were tackles for loss. Like, you know, if a sweep fails, usually it's disastrous because the guy gets tackled 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. But some of the bigger runs were the sweep plays, the boundary plays. Go on. I interrupted you.
Oh, no. You're doing good. You're doing good. No. Yeah. So, I mean, it's something to look on for the future is we need to improve our interior line. As well as we're doing attacking the edges, you know, we're only going to have Wilson for the rest of this season.
Yeah.
I like what Nick Smith brings. He's a good interior runner. He's good in open space. But we need to have somebody else develop behind Nick Smith. And, you know, we haven't seen enough of Evan Johnson to really make that assessment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Jeff Wilson did turn some plays into big plays, right? Like, that's what makes him special out here. He turns a 5-yard gain into a 40-yard gain, right? And I just mentioned that he turned a 5-yard loss into a 2-yard loss at the goal line, and that is everything, man. You see how many times he stiff arms a defender and turns a corner, right? He beats the guy to the edge, turns it upfield. For other guys, it's a 2-yard gain on a sweep. For him, it's a 9-yard gain. And, like, those make a huge difference. Another note about your point about Mason Fine. Yeah, it's so funny. I just read something recently, like notes from a coaching conference on, like, Mike Leach was given about the quick game, and he said, you know, the quarterback is responsible for sacks, you know, also. And somebody took a note there. And you see that, and you heard that from Seth Luttrell last season. We were talking about sacks a lot, and he said, you know, not all of them are the offensive line. Some of those are on the quarterback. This blog mentioned about the UTSA game, some of Mason Fine's struggles against UTSA. He held the ball too long. He had a couple guys open. You always talk about how some guys are running free. Thaddeus Thompson wide open over the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a quarterback, usually the edge. You look on the edge, that's where they see that they make a lot of their passes out there because it's easy. It's not a whole lot of reading to be involved. You just look, throw it to the wide open guy. You only have to read a couple guys. As quarterbacks progress, it's over the middle and deeper down the middle of the field. Like, you see, that's where the progression is. You know, like, obviously now Tom Brady, who's been in the league 240 years, he can throw it anywhere on the field, right? He can diagnose it, walk up to the line, and call the play. But a young quarterback goes up and they don't really see all of that, or maybe they know it in practice or something, but in the game, it's a little too fast for them to diagnose it. They're just like, I'll throw it out here to the side. Mason Fine is getting better that way, and that's how you know he's improving.
And he's and I think he's doing the opposite. He's not even looking to the side. I talked about it last week with the Wilson screen. He was running into the flat, and it looked like a screen. And then this game too, Nick Smith was going out to the flat, and I think he was the primary receiver, but Mason Fine never looked at him. He just chucked it down the field to Jalen Guyton, I think. So he's a gunslinger.
Yeah. I mean, and, like without being in the QB room where they go over that play and where they talk about the progression there, that's a good point. Is like before, maybe he got away from his first, right? I think what Donovan McNabb said last week, that kind of play is touchdown to check down, right? You look at the deep play. If it's not there, then you check it down. It could be he was just going off his first read too quickly last season, where he's like, oh, check down. And this one, he's trusting his teammates and saying, you know what, we're going to be able to complete this pass. So any of those things, you know, pick the card, any card. A lot of positives there. What does it all mean? It means Mason Fine's putting up lots of yards. It means he's thrown for 366 yards. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want, just off the top of my head, he's thrown for 300 plus one, two, three times this season? Two times. Two times this
year. Yeah, at least two.
Yeah. And last year, his best game was 306 yards. So, what do we know? Mason Fine can throw the ball. He can throw the ball deep. Remember that was a knock on him? Remember we didn't believe in him?
Yeah. People were saying that he couldn't throw the fade. He couldn't go up the middle. He has a weak arm. That pass to Michael Lawrence last week to end the half against UAB. I think
that
he
Aaron
had
Rodgers
about
style.
Yeah, roll exactly.
Out, roll left, turn, chuck it down the field. Yeah.
Tony Romo spin move and
yeah.
I think he got about 53 air yards on that play. Ooh. By itself. So he's
time in the weight room, huh?
Yeah, he can throw it down the field. That pass to Turner Smiley this week was a little bit underthrown, but Turner Smiley was so open that he could just stop to catch it and then ran for about 5 or 10 more yards. So he's improving down the field, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain point where like only the most ridiculous arms that we know of can make certain throws. That like only like Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or some of these guys with like cannons that could just like flick their wrist and the ball goes 70 yards. Like, only those guys would maybe hit a dude in stride as he's running, you know, 60 yards down the field. You know, just like nothing. So, Mason Fine can make the throws we need him to make. And that's what we're getting to.
And he's got confidence in his arm, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't have the numbers here in front of me. The plus 15 yards plays. But I think I tweeted it out. We had a lot of big plays again. A lot of chunk yardage. I think it was 9 pass plays of 15 yards or more and 6 run plays of 10 yards or more. You have the numbers, though.
I had the numbers for the for the conference, yeah. for the whole season. We're number one in 10-plus yard scrimmage plays, 20-plus yard scrimmage plays, and 30-plus yard scrimmage plays. I think where it drops off is at the 40-yard point.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I just opened it up. Good stalling team. 10-plus yards, we have 89 plays of 10-plus yards. By the way, let's compare last season. In 13 games, we had 164 yards last year in that same category. Long scrimmage plays. I would say we're on a better pace. We're more explosive. This is only in 5 games. 13 games, 160 last season, 13 games, 165 total plays of 10 yards or more, including 51 of 20-plus. This season, 89 10-plus yards plays and 34 20-plus yard plays. Not to mention 23 30-yard plays, 15 40-yard plays. Last year, by the way, 10 40-yard plays. So we've already improved.
So at this pace for the 10-plus yard plays, just to compare, we would be at 232 total plays.
Yeah, and that's something like the leader last year in this conference was Middle Tennessee at 254, La Tech 251, Western Kentucky 250. So, you know, the best teams in the league. Last season, I always called the top four Middle Tennessee, La Tech, Western Kentucky, Southern Miss. That's that. So you can maybe make the argument by these numbers here. If you want, I'm not going to stop you. You can do it. I won't stop you. That we're one of the best teams in the conference, top four teams in the conference. Again, I'm not going to stop you from making that argument. By the way, the next best team in 40-plus yard plays, Southern Miss. There you go. What does that mean? It means that we played one of the more explosive teams in the conference. I know everybody else wants to tell you, no, look what we did against Texas State. Nobody cares about Texas State. And Southern Miss is actually pretty talented. We can see they got Ito Smith. They got a couple guys there. We beat a pretty explosive team. And if there was any other team that was going to give us a challenge defensively, especially in some of our weaker spots, it was going to be that team. And we did a hell of a job. I cannot tell you how big a win that was. Southern Miss has been a good team these past 2-3 years. They have a tendency to play down to their opponent, but that's not what they did last night. They got beat. Like last year when they came to San Antonio and guys got hurt and they were just allowing big gaping runs. That was more them not really paying attention. They were ready for us, and North Texas just beat them.
Yeah, much to Southern Miss's credit, they're perennially a good team. Last year, they won 7 games. They're probably going to match that this season. Past like 10 or 15 seasons, they've only had one losing season, or one, maybe two. So they're a good team. They're not somebody you want to mess with. They've got that. And something else that as I'm looking through this long scrimmage plays is, you have to go down the list a little bit to find UTSA.
I'm telling you,
they're
man,
not an explosive team.
Yeah, they had a couple big runs against Texas State and Southern, and they feel real good about themselves. That's not saying that they're not a bad team. We can take 2 minutes right now to talk about UTSA.
They're an efficient team.
Yeah, they're still a good team. They have a solid defense. They gave us trouble, and they have a solid offense that can give us trouble. I would say, all right, what are our weaknesses, right? A quarterback that can move, that can escape our pass rush and extend plays, and receivers that are big and strong and make catches. I forget the receiver's name on UTSA, but he was able to go up and get some big passes against our cornerbacks, and we were playing better. Josh Stewart. There you go. He was kind of their deep threat last season. This season, he only has 8 catches for 85 yards. But they like to throw it up to him, and they can just throw it up to him in the same way that last night they just threw it up to Alonzo Staggers. Dalton Sturm is a better quarterback, more accurate quarterback than Quadre Griggs, but he can run around. He's like Erdley in that way, and that's what I'm scared of. I mean, Dalton Sturm is completing 76% of his passes.
He's attempted 100 less passes.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is play action, roll around, throw deep. And that's not a bad way to play. North Texas has struggled. I mean, if you look at UAB, I think UAB is more comparable for UTSA in terms of like philosophy. UAB wants to run the ball and they'll keep you honest with their pass. UTSA wants to run the ball and they'll keep you honest with their pass. And they have a more experienced quarterback in Dalton Sturm. I still don't believe in UTSA's line, though. I think we're going to be able to get to them. Last season, they allowed just like a handful more or less sacks than we did. So they're right about the same area in ability. They haven't improved too much. They haven't really played anybody. They played Baylor, and Baylor's awful. They played Southern, again, so did Southern Miss. And they played Texas State, which is very worse, a lot worse than ULM, so... You know, like we don't know anything about UTSA other than they probably have a decent team. We'll learn some things on October 7th when Southern Miss comes down to San Antonio to play UTSA here. I might even go to that game just to scope it out.
Yeah, it's definitely a must-watch game in terms of, you know, seeing how we can play to UTSA's strengths and weaknesses, and also to see if UTSA has the horses to take over the conference.
Yeah, UTSA is going to be watching a lot of film on us. They looked at last game. I saw a crazy tweet. Barcelona soccer game against Las Palmas to be played without fans at the Camp Nou amid the Catalonia independent vote. That's crazy.
Oh.
So they're going to be looking at this game. They play Southern Miss next week, and they play us the following week in Denton. So this game is going to mean a lot. They saw a lot of stuff there. They maybe are like, oh, maybe North Texas is pretty good. And we're going to be watching this game, right? We're going to be watching UTSA versus Southern Miss because, I think the coach would probably tell you candidly, hey, I don't know that UTSA has played anybody. They're good for this conference, but they haven't played anybody. We don't know what they have. And I don't think they haven't played anybody as explosive as North Texas. So I feel confident there, but I mean, you never know.
You never know, but they're going to be here at home, and we just have to, our defense has improved definitely week per week, but we just have to outscore them. And I think that won't be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's so weird to say, right? You know what? North Texas is probably just going to go downfield and score. It's not going to be a big deal. And that's true. We said last week, I said on the show, and I wrote it, I was like, North Texas is a good offense now. We can say it. It's been proven.
It's official.
And this is just further proof. Speaking of the defense, Kyrie Muhammad had another good day. I misspelled tackles on this post. I just saw that right now. 10 tackles, 6 solo. Ajaya got another sack. Keemon Hall was good. Keyshawn McClain showed a little flash of his ability to make a play from the safety spot. It's always fun to watch him sprint 15 yards and make a tackle on the backfield. Colton McDonald, he got burnt. That was a bad matchup for him. He got burnt by Ito Smith. He was guarding him on a little Texas route, a little angle route. And I think Ito Smith just caught it, broke a tackle, and took off. That's nobody, when we're designing up a defense, says, all right, let's stick Colton McDonald on Ito Smith. There's very few people that you can say, let's stick this guy on Ito Smith because he's real good. But Colton McDonald had a big third down pass breakup earlier in the game, like to force a 3-and-out, and he played pretty solidly. He got stuck in a bad situation there.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, exactly. Tyreek Davis, he made a couple plays. I like that dude. I think they have him in the lineup ahead of D. Balkman. Like, D. Balkman played a lot more last season, and Tyreek Davis, that kind of linebacker, safety, hybrid, which other teams called like a rover, but we call the Nick. He's going to be good, and he's been playing well. He's been making plays in special teams and one or two when he gets on the field. I like that kid. Who else played? I mean, defensive line, we mentioned these guys already. Sid Moore, Andy Flushi, Rod Young did a good job. Good stuff all around. Eric Jenkins started, and hey, look at that. No big pass plays allowed. What do you know?
And I think, you know, to Nate Brooks' credit, because I want him to succeed again. I want him to learn from this. But I think the defensive line just attacked Griggs really well, and you know, Griggs was not able to overcome that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure Nate Brooks would have had a good game today, but it all makes sense. Like, there's nothing wrong about what happened. Nate Brooks didn't play as well as we know he can. Eric Jenkins got a shot, and Eric Jenkins thus far has been making plays. I mean, it was the same thing. Like, Eric Jenkins was hurt a little bit, and other things happened, and that's why Keemon Hall won that job. Right, I mean, it's a meritocracy out there, and if you play well, you keep playing well, you get the job, you get more playing time and more opportunities to continue to play well and show that you've been playing well. So I feel like Nate Brooks is going to be fine. Hopefully he embraces his new role coming off the bench and stays ready, just like Eric Jenkins did. Eric Jenkins stayed ready, came out there, and now he's playing well, and we're like, hey, everything is working the way it should. I think we're out of questions here. Maybe, no, there's the bye week one. I think that was all of them. Cool. Yes, I like my gig. Do you like your gig?
I like my gig. I like my job.
So North Texas 3-2 heading to the bye. It's a good time for a bye, get healthy again. According to my expectations, we're 3-2 and they're right exactly where we should be, right where I predicted us. There's a big game coming up in 2 weeks against UTSA at home in Denton. It's going to be the state fair weekend. I think that's Texas OU weekend, and you know, that's always tough to get people to care about us, little North Texas up there. But consider that it's going to be a good game between two pretty good teams. North Texas versus UTSA has always been an entertaining game, at the very least. It's come down
definitely, and you know, after this week, I mean, after that game, we're either going to be 4-2 or we're going to be 3-3, and that's a huge difference.
Yeah, weren't we 3-3 last season? Also, like, I mean, like we have a better team, and we're following the same script, and we are playing some pretty decent teams here. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to count any chickens. But as I tweeted last night, I'm kind of walking towards the coop. Maybe getting up, walking towards the coop and counting some chickens before they hatch. Maybe picking up a notepad. I don't know. You know, getting my abacus out. here's the deal, is that this conference doesn't have really good teams, right? It doesn't have a whole lot of guys, that you're like, that team is just amazing. So we can see a possibility where we can win this conference when we're not supposed to. Hell, look at Old Dominion last year. They went 10-3, basically on just playing a little bit better than they should have been playing, right? Yeah, you know I mean.
For sure, and that quarterback is gone. I mean, I'm feeling better about that game. Yeah, and
I told you, dude, you were like freaking out about those guys, them and UAB, and maybe you're a little bit more right about UAB than I was, but I still, you know, thought we'd beat UAB. All right, here it is: UTSA, Florida Atlantic, Old Dominion, La Tech, UTEP, Army, Rice. We're not going to be favored against UTSA. I think already UTSA's, depending on what they do next week, they'll change some things. I think everybody saw our win last night, and they're going to adjust their predictions accordingly. But Florida Atlantic is surprisingly good. I want to talk a little bit about them before we shut down the show. They jumped out to a win. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they're still 2-3, but if you look at explosive plays, they're right up there. From 10, 20, 30, 40. I think they have probably the most explosive play in the whole conference.
Yeah, and that's kind of how their offense is designed. You know, you might remember they have Kid Briles there coordinating the offense. And, you know, Baylor could score. And that's exactly what they want to do in Florida Atlantic. I mean, the coach, Lane Kiffin, is an offensive coach, and he recognized the benefits of getting Art Briles' offense, and so he got Kit Briles out there to coordinate it. And Lane Kiffin's is a good coach. He's won everywhere he's been except I think the Raiders. But I mean, at Tennessee they did okay. At USC they were ranked number 3 in the country before like one season where they underperformed. And obviously Alabama, you know, he learned from the best, the most machine like college football team coach that there is, right?
Yeah, character issues aside, he's a decent coach.
Is he a douche? Yeah, probably. Is he a good coach? Yes. Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive. 38-20, they beat Middle Tennessee. It's a little surprising in the way that they beat him. I can kind of understand. I think they were like 2-point favorites. I was thinking that was not really showing Middle Tennessee some respect, but obviously I was wrong. Middle Tennessee got handed. Got their asses handed to him. John Urzua, though, 31 of 51, 359 yards, 2 TDs. They don't have stock still. And the way I looked at it was like, Middle Tennessee's not going to play well if they don't have a good quarterback play. But they had okay-ish quarterback play, and they still lost. I haven't taken too much of a look at that game, but 38-20, that was a beatdown.
Did Richie James come back?
I don't think so. FAU had 439 yards of offense. I gotta look at this game. They just beat them. So there you go. There's a Florida Atlantic there. They're gonna be pretty decent. Old Dominion, I think we could beat them. Louisiana Tech, I think they won last night. They beat South Alabama 34-16. They weren't really challenged. Jamar Smith, 317 yards, 3 touchdowns. Louisiana Tech's gonna be good, and we play them at Joe L.A. Stadium in Ruston. That's going to be the toughest matchup. I thought Southern Miss was going to be tough, mostly because of our own ability to play on the road. But that's going to be very, very difficult going out there. And we're probably going to take a loss, and it's not one that we're not at that level yet. It's about 20% outside our ability, I think. Maybe these other ones are like 10%. If that makes any sense.
We can catch him sleeping.
I mean, we could, yeah. Anything can happen in this conference. And it could be that, you know, that's our, if you want to keep up with some comparisons, right, you know, Mike Leach coached both He did coach both Seth Luttrell and Graham Harrell. And, you know, Graham Harrell and Seth Luttrell got a big win last night, and so did Washington State. They beat USC. I'm a fan of the air raid, man, so I like seeing all these air raid teams do well. I think a couple weeks ago, or a couple years ago, they were even saying, is the air raid past its prime? Mike Leach lost his touch. That's why I was super excited about this offense coming to North Texas. It could do some things, and we have, you know, one of the guys that learn from the best.
Well, and you're starting to see some area QBs having a little bit of success in the NFL. You've got Case Keenum in Minnesota, and you've got Jared Goff in LA.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of intelligent football, and I think, you know, having an offense that is very difficult to stop is great. And the problem is that you also need a defense. But lots of teams have mediocre offenses and mediocre defenses, and nobody tells them anything. But if they have an amazing offense and a mediocre defense, then everybody complains. It's like, but we just turned one into a great, an amazing unit. You know what I mean? Like, well, they need to be balanced. Yeah, sure. But I don't think you're recognizing how amazing it was to turn one unit into an unstoppable force. You know? Anyway, you give an air raid coach a solid enough defense, just a decent defense, and they start winning some things. Amazing. And I think that's what our little squad's turning into. Then we have UTEP. They're bad. They're bad, man. Army at home.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I feel a little bad for them. They're basically reliving the Dan McCarney years where they started out with a bowl win. I think they had it same year we went. And everything just going to hell now. Then Army, then Rice. Rice looks terrible also. But I'm still scared of those late season games, because you never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen, guys. Still early in the season. Well, we're about midway through the season. Good time for a break. I still feel good. I'm going to drink some more of this mimosa. And celebrate, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still stuck. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Marshall looked good. They won 38-21 last time. But we don't play them, so I don't care.
They beat Cincinnati, so that's good for the conference.
Mm-hmm. Would you say you're still going to win? I wish there were, like, this was on TV. This is a game that should have been on TV.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. Florida Atlantic, I'm still stuck on them. Because they put up 263 yards rushing, 4 rushing touchdowns. And that Middle Tennessee defense is supposed to be decent.
Yeah, I haven't seen Florida Atlantic play since those first couple weeks when everybody was tuning in for Navy and Wisconsin. They hadn't really played anybody, I thought. I mean, they played Bethune-Cookman, they beat them, okay. They played at Buffalo, and they lost. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And then, you know, they jump out to this win over Middle Tennessee. They have ODU, and then they play us. They host us. So I don't know if we're going to learn a whole lot from how they play against ODU. I mean, I think everybody thought Florida Atlantic had a good team, like good talent. That talent on the team, they just needed somebody to mold them into something. And that's probably why they predicted so much from FAU.
Yeah, and in the past two seasons, not including this one, but 2016 and 2015, they were preseason sleepers for a lot of folks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they had that. They had a good quarter, solid enough quarterback. They were gamers. They gave Florida a scare a couple years ago. Was it last year or the year before? Well, there you go. Conference standings look like this. North Texas, hey, 2-0 in conference. Then it's Louisiana Tech. Then Rice, 1-1. That's the funny part, is that Rice beat UTEP, and so they're still up there. UTSA hasn't played any conference opponents. They play next week at home against Southern Mississippi, who's 0-1. UAB lost to us, 0-1. UTEP lost to Rice, 0-1. I think, you know, we get some more conference play next week. Let's quickly run through the conference scoreboard real quick. We don't have to talk too much about any of these other games. Louisiana Tech won, Marshall won, Florida International, they beat Charlotte 30-29 in a basement game, basically. Army
nail biter.
Army beat UTEP 35-21. That was they dominated that game. It was not really amazing. And then Pittsburgh just obliterated Rice. It was terrible to watch. I watched a little bit of that early in the morning. I was on a work call, and that was awful. Next week, FIU. Are they home? Yeah, they're at Middle Tennessee. Louisiana Tech travels to UAB. That might be an interesting game to watch. UAB came off a bye, and they might go game plan it up. I know they had some injuries. They might have got rested. Look out for that one. FAU at ODU. They're up in Virginia. Marshall travels to Charlotte. Marshall should win that game easily. Army is basically what? They're like Conference USA annex? They just play all the Conference USA teams. They play Rice. In Houston, Army should win that game fairly easily. And then, as I said, probably the game of the week, Southern Miss at UTSA. I think the shine on that game is kind of dulled a little bit because we whooped them. I'm happy to be, the spoiler there. That's fine.
We can dream crusher.
Yeah. But yeah, Southern Miss, taking on UTSA. We're going to learn a lot about both of those teams next week. How good is UTSA, and you know how good is North Texas, you know, by proxy of Southern Miss?
Well, UTSA is going to have to keep up with Southern Miss because Southern Miss is a pretty explosive team, and if they're not going to put up the explosive numbers that Southern Miss does, then they're going to lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, and then Southern Miss is going to be mad. They're like, I can't believe we allowed so many points. They're going to focus on a defense. That should be a fun game. I might go to that game. Down here in San Antonio, I might just go take a peek at a couple of conference foes and get a feel for UTSA in person. Western Kentucky goes to UTEP. Really, I think the only chance UTEP has is in that Western Kentucky is going to travel all the way out to UTEP, which is basically the other side of the world, and they might be jet-lagged.
It's so far.
Yeah, that's really it. But unfortunately, I think going east to west to east is more draining than the other way around. So they don't even get all the luck out there. Poor UTEP. Folks, I think we're done. It was a good podcast. It was a fun podcast. I'm sorry that we couldn't do it live. There were some issues with the live server that I didn't want to troubleshoot while I was getting ready to podcast. I'll fix those, and hopefully we'll have that ready by next week.
He's only got one hand. He's drinking a mimosa in one and then, you know, clicking and doing stuff with you.
Yeah, man. God. Who am I? Okay. So, thanks for everybody that expressed interest in listening to it. I was excited about doing it. I'm glad we could at least record. This is going to go up. If you're listening to it now, you're like, yeah, it's already up. Thanks for the questions. I appreciate that. I'm pretty hyped about next game. That UTSA game is a huge game, not only for me personally, because I live in San Antonio, I know a lot of UTSA people, I was born in San Antonio, so it has an extra special meaning to me, but also I don't like them beating us, you know,
over and over, a measure of
revenge. We should have won last season. We 4 turnovers by Mason Fine. That just sticks in my mouth there, like, oh, we should have beat them. There's the fact that they beat us, you know, more times than we beat them. We beat them to one, and also this is they're the only the next good team. It's La Tech's the best team on our schedule, then UTSA probably, and you know, I think this is gonna be huge for the team. Folks, North Texas 3-2, 2-0 in conference, and you get 2 weeks to enjoy it. So do so. Yeah, you got anything to say?
I'm going to enjoy Sunday.
Yeah. Do it. Go Mean Green, y'all.
Go Mean Green.